Thus ye shall say, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. So we've been studying the ministering spirits, but we're going to study our adversary. The Bible says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't devour everyone. It really depends upon your walk and where you are in Christ. But I'll just tell you this right now. If you're a child of the King, if you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you have nothing to worry about. Amen. The Bible says, submit to God and then you can what? Resist the devil. Now, if you're not submitting to God, then you do have some stuff to worry about. Amen. We're going to get into that. The enemy. Well, we're going to be studying in the next 2-3 weeks the origin of fallen angels and demons. And they're not the same thing. They have different abilities and different roles and different powers. We see that even in the time when Jesus came and his disciples came across a little boy that was possessed. And Jesus said, this kind, right? This kind goeth out only by what? Right, so that tells you straight away there's more than one kind. There are different types of spirit, and you have to know which kind. We see in the book of Jude, the archangel Michael, the Bible says he didn't rebuke Satan, not in himself, but he said what? The Lord rebuked you. He didn't try and defeat Satan, even though he was Michael the archangel. He didn't try and do it of himself. So there are differences between angels and demons and the way you should deal with them. There are differences. That's why Jesus said, this kind goeth out only by fasting and prayer. So we're going to be covering the origin of fallen angels and demons and how they operated in the Old Testament, which is actually different than how they operate now. Their motivation and schemes, their New Testament operation, which, as I said, different from the Old Testament, and how to recognize them. That's very important. That's very important how to, because the Bible says that Paul said that when he had left the scene, would come grievous wolves. Right? Isn't that what he said? Would come try and come into the very church. Grievous wolves. And that's the most dangerous kind is deception. And then finally, how to defeat them. Because as I said, angels and demons differ and are two different categories of spirit beings. So we're going to be covering all of these areas. And of course, we're going to be doing some review. Starting off with Ezekiel 28:14, speaking about Satan himself. It says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that was created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, most of you here probably have had most of this teaching before, but it's been a while since I taught it, so I'm going to go over it again. So, origins, Genesis 3:1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. And I'm telling you, he hasn't changed his operation. If you're a son of God, he can't come at you full frontal. He will sow deceit. He will sow doubt. He will make you believe that God is not with you, or try and tell you a lie. Hath God said you should be at Rehoboth? Hath God said you should... He will come. Hath God said you should take this job? That's his plan right now, is to sow deceit. And when you're a child of God, that's the only power he has, is the lie. That's the only power he has, is the lie. And so what are we to do if the devil has come to us? If you know he's going to lie, what do? You don't listen. Right? You do not listen to the lie. That's what you have to do, is make sure you're not listening to the lie. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? See the seeds of doubt? Has God said you are blessed and highly favored? Has God called you into the ministry you're in? Has God said you should take this job? Has God blessed you with this car? He'll make you doubt. because you come out and you found a scratch on it or someone put a dent in it. He'll make you doubt. Did God really give you this? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, of course, she added that part because before that, God didn't say about touching it, though it would be just as well that they didn't even go near it. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Once he has you listening, then he can come out with the opposite to what God said. If she had said, go away, serpent, I'm not talking to you, there could have been no further conversation. But now he's got her talking. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Now here's the most dangerous thing about the devil. He'll tell you a half-truth. That's the truth. He'll tell you a half-truth. If he told you a flat-out lie, go kill someone, none of us would do it. But if he whispered, did you know that so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so? Then you go and whisper to someone else, you're killing them, aren't you? But he's not with a gun. That's why we have to recognize the devil. We're going to be going into that. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that part was true. Her eyes were opened, his eyes were opened, but they lost so much with that. They lost so much with that. They gained the knowledge of good and evil, but with no power to do anything about it. As I've said, the way I've explained it before, it's like a baby getting full human consciousness, but having no control over the muscles. Still a baby, still in a baby's body. No, you know, that would be a prison. Imagine if you had the adult consciousness, but you were in a six-month-old baby's body. Didn't have that, you can't walk, can't clean yourself, can't do anything. It'd be just like being paralyzed. God in his mercy doesn't let us remember too much further back than maybe 2 or 3 years old when we started to walk and we could get around a little bit. I don't know how far back you could, that's about as far back as I can remember, is about 2 or 3. I don't remember. Isn't it great you don't remember actually being born? The pain of going through the birth canal and being squeezed and not being able to breathe. I mean, isn't that great? But you know what Satan has done to us? He's actually given the human race the consciousness in actually being born, because that's what Romans says, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. We weren't meant to have the knowledge that we have now yet, because we can't deal with it. We can't handle it. So because of their disobedience, paradise was lost. That's why I have to get up at 6 and go to work. We could have just been sitting back and saying, I think I'll get up at 10 and go eat some fruit. I think I'll go back down to the lake and just sit and watch the blue water and the sand. My sister-in-law has retired. She had a job and she had been there 24 years and the company closed, so she just decided to take early retirement. So I was asking her what she does. Basically anything she wants. Anything she wants. Amen. But one day we're going to be back in the garden. Amen. So we find that thing that's translated serpent, as I've told you in the Hebrew, it's nakash, which actually has another meaning. If as an adjective, as a noun, it means snake, but as an adjective that is describing the action, it really means the shining one. It means a bright and shining one. And we know that the Bible says that Satan transforms himself into what? An angel of light, because he's all about deception. He's all about deception. So as a noun, it means serpent, so they translated that because they didn't have the revelation of who it was really talking. But this beast was not just an animal, because it's obvious that she had dealt with him before. If a snake suddenly started to talk to you, what would you do? Would you have a conversation with it? You would either kill it or take off, because there's something wrong with that picture, right? So we can tell that this wasn't just an ordinary snake, but this was a snake, but this was a being that she had probably had conversation with before. And of course, By the time he came up with this plot, he already had sinned. He already had sinned. Isaiah 14:12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. He already had sinned. And most of this is review because we've been over this many times. So we know in verse 13, he says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Anytime we start saying I, we got to watch it. You ever had those wedding showers or baby showers where my wife is good at that, and you're not to say I? You're not to, what's it, baby? Baby, but I've heard ones where you're not to say I. And that's very hard to say anything without conversating, saying, I was going. Where are you coming from? Well, I was, there you go. Give me your tag. I think it was Malcolm or someone. Who was it? One that, oh, you, my, okay. She won it. Sister Brownie won it. She's very good at it. Anytime we start to say I have learned that if you want to be exalted, you have to humble yourself. The Bible says he seeth the proud afar off. And that's why I've said that I think pride is probably the worst sin, because it's so easy. It's so easy to creep up on us to just think, wow, I'm something special. Look at all the good things God has. Even when we get blessed, we can get prideful. We got to be so careful. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him. All blessing comes from God. I don't have nothing that is mine. And especially since I've become pastor, I've been very careful about what I spend money on, because I'm thinking, Lord, this is your money. It's not even my money. It's not, even though I'm working, it's not my money. We need to understand that this was the very first sin. And it's one of the things that the Bible says that God calls it an abomination. Pride. When thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'm going to be God. I don't need you, God. I've got everything taken care of. Everything is perfect. That's what Herod said. They gave glory to Herod, and so the angel came and smote him. If we will give God the glory, no matter what, that's how we will continue the stream of blessing. That's how we will continue the stream of blessing. Verse 15 says, it's a prophecy. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. That's the end of all who do unrighteous. That's the end. It's going to be hell. Amen. So we know that, of course, sin and rebellion removes the covering. And when we get into talking about demons and spirits, you know what they're called in the New Testament a lot? What do they call a spirit? A demon. They usually prefix that word with something. An unclean spirit. It's not just a spirit. They call it an unclean spirit. You ever wonder why it's called an unclean spirit? All right, well, we're going to look at some things. The Bible doesn't just call them spirits, but it calls them an unclean spirit. Something nasty. Right? Something nasty. So there's a reason why in the Bible they're called unclean spirits. It has something to do with their nature.
Does it have to do with their rebellion and like the time of Noah?
True, yes, that has a lot to do with it. We're going to be getting into that next week. But let me just show you this. As I said, there's lots of types and shadows in the Old Testament. Remember, I taught about the body being a vessel. Remember, I taught about that when we were talking about angels. Now, look what the scripture says about a vessel. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. An unclean spirit, then, is give this. When it's called an unclean spirit, it's telling us something about its origin. It's telling us something about the origin. It is a spirit that doesn't have a covering, that's not bound to a vessel. It says, and every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And we'll be getting into that. As I've taught before also, that Lucifer lost his covering when he sinned. He lost his covering when he sinned. The serpent, the bright and shining one, was more subtle. That's what is translated, but as I've said, in the Hebrew, it actually represents also a different word, which means naked. Just by a simple consonant change, but it's pronounced the same. Because the Hebrew was never written with the consonants, you had to get it from the context. So when the translators early on were translating it, they decided that it must be subtle, can't be naked, because that wouldn't make sense. But of course, we know that the true translation, I believe, was naked. Now the serpent was more naked, meaning he had lost his covering. And that's why he became unclean. Remember what the scripture says here? Now every open vessel that hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. That's why we have to be covered by what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals us to the day of redemption. That's why the spirit that has left the body, that's why it's called unclean, because it has no covering. Amen. So Lucifer also lost his covering. And the word in the Hebrew, in the Hebrew is spelled exactly the same. It's only the consonants that make it different. And so you have to put in the consonants based upon the context. But in the Hebrew, it's exactly the same word, naked and supple. And so if you put it as naked, now the serpent was more naked, what's that revealing to us is that Satan had already become unclean. He'd already sinned. And so, as I've taught before, this was his purpose in involving God's children as a way of protecting himself from destruction. We know he wasn't created naked because Ezekiel 28:13 tells us that he was covered with every precious stone. You know, God can only create perfect things. Even Lucifer, when he was created perfectly, a very beautiful creature. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and it goes on to outline 9 stones that he had. But we see from Genesis that whenever he sinned, he became naked. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. I tell you this, I'm learning, and I haven't quite got it yet. But I know what the secret is. And I've told you before, but I don't know how many of you got it either. It's not that we are perfect, but it's that we're covered. Do you understand? That's why in Revelation he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. The Laodicean church, it says, you are naked. It wasn't talking clothes, it was speaking spiritually. But I tell you what, if you can get under God's covering, then you are perfect. Amen. You can be separated and be under the covering. You are perfect. And you can see how that works, because that's why the Bible says that a child is sanctified by the believing parents. They're covered by the parents. And the parents are covered. The Bible says the order of it is the man is covering the woman, and the man is covered by, who's the head of the man? Christ. If we follow the order, then we can walk in perfection. If I start looking at my warts and boils and pimples, I'm going to get depressed. I'm going to fail. But I'm going to look unto Jesus. So Satan lost his covering. He was perfect. But then he became unclean till iniquity was found in thee. He lost his covering when he sinned. And we can see that it said, thou hast been in Eden. So this was past tense. The garden, every precious stone was thy covering. You see, it's written in the past tense. He lost his covering. And of course, I've shown you these scriptures before in Revelation, talking about the king of the bottomless pit. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. And what does Abaddon mean? Destroyer or destruction. And in the Greek tongue, it is Apollyon. Well then, when we go back to Job 26:6, it says hell is what? Naked before him. And in the Hebrew, it's translated King James, destruction. But if you went to the Hebrew, guess what it would say? Abaddon. Has no covering. Why? Because he had sinned. He had become an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. He had lost his angelic covering. So when we put it all together, we see that the most important thing is to be covered by God's Spirit. The Bible says in Isaiah, it said that they cover with a covering, but not of my Spirit, that they may heap sin upon sin. But if you're covered by God's Spirit, if you're under the blood, you can hold your head up high. You can walk like you're a King of Kings, because you are joint heirs with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is the key. You have to be looking unto Jesus and absolutely believe in his shed blood, that when he said on Calvary, it is finished, it was finished. Man's redemption is paid. As I said Sunday, he's not coming back to come and fix sin again. Did you know that? He's not coming back to forgive sins again, because this is the time to get that sorted out. He's coming back to set the kingdom up and to rule. So we see that when we put the word in there, it shows us that Satan had no covering. He had already sinned. He had become unclean, unclean. So hell then was created, not at the beginning. God never created hell. When God finished creation in Genesis 1:31, there was no such thing as hell. The Bible says that he looked on everything, and we've quoted this so many times, and he said it was very good. It was perfect. It was in perfection. Hell was actually created in a way by Lucifer's sin, by his actions. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. The Bible tells us that hell was created for who? The devil and his angels. It was never God's intent for hell to be the place of his children. But through disobedience and through deceit and listening to the wrong thing, that's where, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to end up. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, isn't that sad, are deceived. And so hell was actually created as a reaction to Satan. He was the one, by his actions, that created hell. And the way I have, the way I've taught it before, it's just like the immune system comes along, and the white blood cells, when they find something that is defective, they swallow it and they take it to the lymph nodes where it is destroyed, and comes out in the drop, comes out, with all the other waste. And that's what hell it really is. It's for destroying anything that would destroy God's body. I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. Now, why I'm going through all of this is because I'm talking about the origins of the fallen angels, starting, of course, with Satan himself. In fact, Matthew 25:41 says, then shall they say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Isaiah 5:14 tells us, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. The Bible is telling us that hell was never created. We were never meant to go to hell. We were meant to be in heaven. We were meant to always be in God's presence. That's what we were created. That's why we were created in his image and in his likeness. So we see that when Satan sinned is when the war began. We see this in Genesis 3:15, where God declares a state of war. I will put enmity, that means hatred, between thee, speaking to the serpent, the Nakash, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now there's something very interesting in that verse. That's number one, so that's a prophecy of the virgin birth, but there's something else very interesting about that verse. How many seeds are there? There's two. Two seeds. It's speaking about Satan's seed. Right? It's not just speaking about the seed of the woman. Now, there have been many doctrines that confuse people, and I want to make sure that no one is confused. There was a doctrine called the serpent seed. That's not what I'm talking about. where they said that Adam had a wife before and all kinds of mess. That's not what I'm talking about. But there is something truly that is the seed of the serpent, because it's here. There would be enmity between his seed and her seed. So there are two seeds. That means that there was going to be a state of war. And this actually kind of prophesies what Satan was going to be up to. Because what I said before is that angels and demons are not the same. They're not the same. And we're going to go this week to study more about the fallen angels. And next week we're going to get a lot more into the demons. But we see that this was fulfilled literally in Genesis 6, 4. It says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men. Now, in the Hebrew, that word mighty is giborim. It's not just speaking about big and strong. It's saying something. It's saying giants. Giborim. In fact, it has the same three letters as the word Gabriel, which means mighty warrior. These were not just normal human beings. These were mutations. These were Nephilim, which were of old, men of renown. And that word renown is really the Hebrew word Shem. It means they had a new name. What do you call the human race? What's the official name for the human race? Homo sapiens. What this is really telling us is that what was born was not Homo sapiens. When it says men of renown, it was really saying men of a name. They were of a new name. They were not Homo sapiens. They were something else. They were something else. And this is the origin of demons. And we're going to go into more detail. Now people say, well, how that can't be right, because Jesus said angels can't marry. And that's right, angels can't marry, but he said they can't marry where? In heaven. Mark 12:25, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Right? But we know that Paul said, better entertain strangers, because you can entertain angels unaware. What does that mean? They mean that they look like men. They can sit down, have a meal with you, can do everything like men. In fact, in the book of Genesis, Abraham saw three men. But one of them was God in the flesh, in a theophany, because he accepted worship. Abraham bowed down to him and worshiped, and that person who talked with him talked to him as God. The other two were angels, and God sent them where? Where were they sent? Sodom and Gomorrah. And these must have been quite fetching specimens, because the men of Sodom and Gomorrah tried to do what? They tried to have relations with them. So they looked like men. They functioned as men. So when Jesus said that there will not be a marriage relationship in heaven, most of us are going to be glad that we're not in heaven. We were never made to live permanently. You know what lives in heaven? Spirits. But there is going to be a new heaven and, let's say it together, a new earth. That's why where we're going to be. But not only that, God is going to be with us. In Revelation it says, the tabernacle of God is with men. Men. So we were never designed to be just disembodied spirits. In a spirit form, yes, there is no marriage and giving in marriage. But that's not where we're going to end up. We're only up there so that God can clean up the place. That he can take a hose to it and clean it up and get it all new. Then we come back to rule and reign with him. So what happened is that these angels that wanted to rebel, look what they did in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 6. Look what it says. And the angels which kept not their first estate, they left their habitation. They left their habitation. And that word habitation actually means house. They left their vessel. In other words, they became what? An unclean. What did the scripture say? A vessel that is unbound and without a cover is unclean. That word habitation there in the Greek is okaterion, and it means a vessel. It means clothing. In other words, they disrobed. They took off their angelic form so that they could come to earth to do what they were going to do. So God had to lock them up. He had to eventually lock them up. Brother Philip? I think it's going to happen if it's not already happening, because Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Right now, they're on the verge of making new bodies. They're experimenting with growing human organs in pigs. They're splicing in viruses in mice. They are taking cells, human cells, taking out the DNA, taking three other people's DNA, putting it back to make one person. So they're doing exactly what was happening in Genesis 6, but they call it science now. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains of darkness. Now, not only we do have evidence from the Bible for this, but we have from other books. There's a book called the Book of Enoch, which, although it wasn't included in the Bible, was in use at the time of Jesus, and in fact, was part of the books that they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the Book of Enoch tells the story in more detail. And not only that, the Book of Jude quotes from the Book of Enoch. He quotes from the Book of Enoch. Now, I'm not saying all of the Book of Enoch is spiritually inspired, but it gives us an idea of what was going on. It says in the Book of Enoch, it happened after the sons of men had multiplied in those days, that daughters were born unto them, elegant and beautiful. And when the angels, the sons of heaven, beheld them, they became enamored of them, saying to each other, come, let us select for ourselves wives from the progeny of men, and let us beget children. And I've taught all the reasons why they did that, because they knew if they somehow could use humanity as a hostage, that they hoped to avoid judgment. And it's been pretty successful. It's been pretty successful. And that's the whole reason for the rapture. That's the whole reason God has got to give us a new body, because this body is given over. I'm going to get a new body. You're going to get a new body. All the aches and pains, you're going to get a brand new body. Amen. Amen. And if you want all the notes, this will be in here. But we also have a witness from history, Josephus, who was a historian at the time of Christ. And he wrote a whole complete history of the Jews. He wrote in his book, which was written about the time of Paul, he says, for many angels of God, this is what the Jews believed and taught. Many angels of God accompanied with women and begat sons that proved unjust and despisers of all that was good. And then there's another, what they call, apocryphal book called the Book of Jubilees. You can find that in some Catholic Bibles. That book was included in the Catholic grouping of Bibles. But it tells the same story, and it documents the time period in sections of 50-year periods, Jubilees. And it speaks about Mahalalel took unto him the wife of Dinah, the daughter of Barachel, the daughter of his father's brother, and she bare him a son in the third week, in the sixth year, and she called his name Jared, which is the name from the Bible, which means to descend. For in his days the angels of the Lord descended on the earth. That's what Jude was talking about. They left their habitation because they wanted to intermingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, someone asked, was it Philip, is that still happening? Or is it going to happen? Well, I didn't put it in here, but if you could all find Daniel chapter 2 and verse 41. Someone read that real loud. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 41. In that you'll find that Daniel is given a vision of the future ruling kingdoms of this world, starting with the head of gold, the breastplate of silver, the mid part of brass, the legs of iron. Then he comes down to the toes, right? And if you could read from starting from verse 41, real loud, Daniel chapter 2, verse 41.
Daniel 2, verse 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay.
Amen. Now, that's an astounding verse right there. Now, it's obvious who the clay is because we are made from the dust of the earth. And it says, in the time of the ten toes, the iron with trying to mingle with the clay. They shall, it says, they shall seek to mingle with the seed of men. So they're not men if they're trying to mingle with the seed of men, right? That's very clear that it's speaking about somebody, something else. Because it calls them, they shall try and mingle with the seed of men. So yes, that is going to happen if it's not already happening, which is a scary thought. Devil's gotten very clever nowadays, though. Because in those days, it was obvious, the Nephilim, because they were giants, and they had six fingers and six toes, so they were easy to spot. But now, he's gotten very clever. There are some plants that can look just like wheat, that grow next to wheat. And unless you know the difference between wheat and the tares, you couldn't tell the difference. Jesus in Matthew said, no, I'm going to let them grow together until the time of the end. And he was asked, where did these come from? It says, the enemy hath sowed them, the seed. Going back to Genesis 3:15, that the seed, where there would be enmity between the two seeds. So we see that these are the fallen angels. And in the book of Jude, Jude quotes from the book of Enoch, because he says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. That is speaking about our time, not in Enoch's time. And that was given thousands of years ago to the prophet Enoch. So this tells us that although the book of Enoch may have some things that are uninspired, they thought it, the parts that were quoted from were prophecy, or else Jude would never have quoted from it. So now let's look at the nature of the fallen angels, because as I said, they're different from demons, and I'm going to go over some points here. And we won't get to the demons tonight, but I want you to follow along with this. This is different in the New Testament from the Old Testament. They had a lot more leeway in the Old Testament. And some of these things are still the same. They can assume any shape. They can assume angels, fallen angels can assume any shape. They can transport themselves. That means they can fly wherever they want to. They can show up on your doorstep. They can look like the most beautiful girl you've ever seen. The most handsome man you've ever seen. Right? They are powerful and can cause destruction. They can cause destruction. These are fallen angels. They have the power to cause destruction. And they can hold territory. They can hold territory. That means they can rule over areas. They're territorial. And they are the powers behind the ruling world powers. Now I'm going to go down each of these lists one section at a time to show you from Scripture that illustrate the points I'm making. That they can assume any shape. The Bible says this, Transformers and Decepticons, right? 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into what? That's why we got to be careful. We can't follow every voice. We got to be real careful because they can transform themselves into false apostles and what? Deceitful workers. In fact, Paul came across a young lady who was prophesying, and she was telling the truth. She was telling the truth. They were making money off of her because she had an unclean spirit. And she was able to do some fortune telling. She was able to tell things about people because they know about them. Just as how there is a guardian angel, there is what's known as a familiar spirit. And in the Middle Ages, people used to do divination and the occult so that they could communicate with what was known as their familiar spirit. And the familiar spirit is a spirit, just as how we have a guardian angel. There are demons who study you. They study you. They know everything about you. Now, they can't read your mind, but since they've been around you for a long time, they know all your past. And so when people say they see ghosts, what they're seeing is the familiar. They're not seeing that true person's soul because the Bible conclusively tells us that when the spirit dies, it returns to where? The one who gave it. So what they're seeing is the familiar. And that's why it can be so deceptive, because that spirit can say everything about you, tell all your secrets. But what does the scripture say here, 2 Corinthians 11:13? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. So that's why you cannot follow miracles. You know, some big evangelist comes to town, everybody flocks because miracles are happening. Now, they may not be denying that there are miracles. Remember what Jesus said. He says, he's going to tell some people, but didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I do this? And he's going to say, depart from me. Because miracles are going to be done in these days. The Bible says that there will be miracles done by lying spirits. So you have to not watch the miracles. You have to watch the word. Sister Mary. That's right. They withstood. Yeah, Moses had a rod and he threw it down and became a snake. The Egyptians could do that too. They could make their rod turn into a snake. The difference is Moses' snake ate up their snake. So Satan is able to do miraculous things. Fallen angels can do miraculous things. That's why you cannot go by someone, you know, telling you something and be swayed by it. You have to have more than that to know whether it's of God. And we'll be getting into that more next week. But I just wanted to cover this. First of all, the Bible says that, and no marvel, he's saying, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, as I said, he's not going to come at you with an outright lie, because we're smart enough to know that. He's going to say, I'm one of you. I do the same as you. I speak in tongues. I baptize in Jesus' name. Then you let your guard down. The Bible says you have to try the Spirit. Right. You have to really try some spirits. I'm telling you. But you know what? My mother, she had a gift of discernment. And maybe I'm getting it because I can spot some people a mile off. Paul here is saying, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan ministers, also be transformed as what? As ministers of righteousness. You can't listen to every voice out there, everybody who says, come with me, look at what I'm doing. There's got to be more to it than that. You have to really be sensitive to the Spirit, else you can be deceived. Believe not every spirit. In modern English, it says, for Satan masquerades as an angel of light. But the Bible tells us, he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of what? Iniquity. Because I never knew you. Satan will be granted the power to do miracles. And the Bible says, if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. He will deceive you. And that's why you got to be careful. Now, let's go back. I said they can assume any shape, okay? And I've just showed you that he can transform. That's what the scripture says. The other thing I said, they can transport. Angels can fly around. I'm going to show you that demons cannot. But angels, fallen angels, can fly around. Let's show that. In fact, the very name, Beelzebub, means the Lord of the flies or the Lord who flies. Baal means Lord in Aramaic, in Canaanite. And Zebub means one who flies. In fact, he's called the prince of the power of the air. So fallen angels are much more powerful than demons. Fallen angels are much more powerful than demons, and that's why we need to deal with them differently. As I said, if you look at the book of Jude, Michael, when he was confronted with Satan, didn't try to fight him or come against him as Michael. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't say, I'm just as powerful as you. I can take you on, Satan. He said, the Lord. And you have to be cognizant of how you deal with the different powers here. As I said, Jesus, when he came to that little boy, he said, this kind goeth out. So there are different kinds of spirits that need a different kind of solution sometimes. But all of them come down to prayer and fasting. All of them will submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It says, whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, but we have to do it not of self. We have to be really in the Spirit. You're not in the Spirit and you try and go up against some of these things, you'll be in trouble. Or if you try and do it without faith believing, you'll be in trouble. The Lord said unto Satan, now just to prove again that fallen angels can fly, we see that he had left the earth in the book of Job, and he was come to God's throne and said, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth. That means he wasn't in the earth when he said it, and walking up and down in it. So Satan and fallen angels have the ability to move around and to fly. But where they're limited is they can only be at one place at a time. That means they are localized. Satan can't be everywhere at one time, but he can move around. Okay? So let's go back now. So we've covered that they can transport themselves. Now, I also said that fallen angels are very powerful. They can cause destruction. And we see that in the book of Job. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind.
Tornado.
It brings to mind when we were out at Madison. And good thing we're coming to the end of the singing, but man, there came up a great wind. It wasn't a tornado, it was a straight, but that thing just took off. You know? I'm sure the spirits in that park didn't want us to be there. They decided they're going to try and blow the whole thing down. But God held them off until we were pretty much finished with our singing. And they tried to destroy the equipment, but it passed. And lo, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. So fallen angels can do a lot of damage without a body. Demons, on the other hand, can do almost nothing without a body. All they can do is rattle chains and go boo. So they're good at scaring people in houses, but they have actually no power by themselves. But fallen angels don't need a body. They can create a lot of destruction all by themselves. But demons are almost they get more powerful when they have a body to use. Let me show you now. The last thing I said back there, that they are territorial, that fallen angels rule a territory. So we have some really bad fallen angels over Milwaukee that we're going to have to take authority over. They hold territories. Demons do not. Let me show you this from the book of Daniel. When Daniel was fasting and praying for 3 full weeks, he said, I ate no pleasant food. It's in the book of Daniel chapter 10. And he was praying for an answer, and no answer came for a long time. For 3 weeks he was praying, and there was no answer. Finally, after 3 weeks, the answer came. The angel finally showed up. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. What had happened was the fallen angel, the angelic being who was over the kingdom of Persia, who was the power, the secret power behind the king of Babylon, had held up this other angel which was coming with the message. He told him, from the first day you started to pray, Daniel, I was sent, but I was withstood. I was held up. So again, I'm showing you that fallen angels do have power. And that angel that was sent with the message, if you read the whole chapter, he had to call for help. He had to call for the archangel Michael to come. And when he came, the message came through. And he goes on to say that, when I am gone, I'm going to have to go back and fight with the prince of Grisha. And what this is showing is that the world empires behind them are demonic forces, fallen angel forces. The Persian Empire, what this is saying, was actually being manipulated by a fallen angel, which in scripture is called the prince of Persia. And after the Persian Empire fell, then Alexander the Great came along. And if you study history, his rise was nothing short of demonic. In 6 years, from the age of 22, he conquered the then known world. He defeated armies that were much bigger than him. Now, when you see stuff like that happens, you can tell there's some supernatural stuff going on. In fact, his mother claims he was born supernaturally too. I'm tempted to say something, but I better. The recording is on, so I won't say it. But if Trump wins... Oh boy, I'll have to edit that out. Okay. Well, if you look at the facts, there is no way he should have won. He had 17 other people going against him that were much better qualified in every way. And slowly by slowly, he's defeated every one of them. And right now, it looks like he shouldn't win, but I wouldn't bet on that. Because the Bible says, even now, the mystery of what? Iniquity doth work. We are coming up to the end of all of this. And most people are completely blind to what's going on in the spiritual. But there is an actual war going on that you can't see. And what you do decides whether your guardian wins or the familiar spirit wins. You have a choice in this. Who do you support? We saw that Daniel supported the angel with the message. He was praying and fasting. And because he was fasting, God said to him, as soon as the angel came, he said, "Oh, greatly beloved." Just because the answer didn't come right away doesn't mean God doesn't love you. When the angel came, he called him a man greatly beloved. Isn't that something? Imagine if an angel woke you up tonight and said, "Oh, greatly beloved." Would you be shouting till now till Sunday? Wouldn't you be shouting from now till Sunday? God loves me. You see, that just tells us we don't believe it until an angel comes and tells us. The angel would have to come and wake him and say, "You are loved." Well, you know what the Bible calls me in Revelation? Unto the angel of the church. What does angel mean? Messenger. I am the angel of the church, and I'm telling you, you are loved. In the New Testament, John speaks about the church as dearly beloved. But sometimes we won't believe it because it's me, but if God sends an angel, you'll believe it. It was to wake you up and say, "I love you. I know you're going through some hard times right now, but you are greatly beloved. You are great." If we could ever believe that, we would have such power and such peace. We would have such power and such peace. Now, I went all over the things that the fallen angels were able to do. But remember now, when Jesus died, what happened to that curtain? The veil tore in two, symbolizing the end of the law, but also the end of the angelic rule. Because after that point, Jesus, on the last thing he said on the cross was what? "It is finished. It is finished." The Bible says when he rose again, he said what? "All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me." Right? Isn't that what he said? And then he told his disciples before he ascended on that hill in Galilee, he said, "Go into Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power." The Bible says, now, let's all say it together, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, if you're a son of God, as I've taught so much before, you're back in the garden. You can tell Satan, "Go away." Or as you did Sunday, you can tell that dove, "Come and sit here." What you're demonstrating is our position in Christ. But we are so afraid and so, you know, unbelieving that Satan will come. "Has God told you he loved you? Has God said if you eat of this tree, you'll surely die?" No, it's not true. God doesn't really love you because you messed up. You didn't pray. If it was because we didn't pray, we'd all be in trouble. God isn't loving you, as I said Sunday, because you're a baby and you poop. Babies poop. If they don't, there's something wrong with them, right? You take them to if they haven't pooped for a week, there's something wrong with them. God loves us because we belong to him. And what he's telling you right now is, you are heirs and joint heirs with him. Amen. See, the angels have, although they're very powerful, they only have authority over someone who is not a son of God. Because when we were studying the angels, remember why they were originally created? In Hebrews it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits?" That means servants. Sent forth to do what? Means to serve. We have the authority if you are walking under the Spirit to command angels. Isn't that what Jesus said? Listen, don't you understand that if I was to just say to my Father right now, send some help, I could have 12 legions of angels. He wouldn't have needed any of them, actually. He could have just done it himself, but he was trying to make a point. Now, a legion is 6,000. So he could have had 72,000 angels, he said, if I just was to say the word. And he only needed one angel. One angel in the Old Testament destroyed 180,000 of the enemy. So Jesus was trying to make a point. Listen, if I wanted to, I could just command the angels right now. Don't you understand? He shall give his angels. I'm just remembering all the near misses I've had where I know I didn't see anything, but I know God put his angel there. There wasn't any time for me to even think when that car came straight across the freeway directly at me at 80 miles an hour, and I'm going 80 miles an hour. And it was like from there to here in seconds. I mean, I had no time. And then right at the last minute, something turned him out the way. I didn't move. I was like deer caught in it. It was so fast, I only started shaking afterwards. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that what? Fear him, that reverence him. I'm telling you that we have angels that are on deputation to us. And if God could ever open our eyes, sitting in right now, right here, surrounding this place, is a heavenly host. I absolutely know that. Amen. Because if you're filled with the Spirit, you're a child of the King. Shall I tell you when Satan, those angels had no authority? It's when on the cross he said, it is finished. It is finished. Man's redemption is paid. They have no basis to accuse you except for deception. If they will lie to you and you will believe it, you can live spiritually poor. But God has already deposited in our spiritual bank blessings, deliverances, healings, revival. Amen. It's all there. It's all there. It's for us to appropriate it. But the devil has said, oh no, God has not said that. That's for someone else. That's because you messed up. You've lost your job for this reason. Daniel, you see, you've been praying 3 weeks, 21 days, you've been fasting. Nothing's happened. Why don't you give up? He's not listening to you. Imagine if Daniel had stopped on the 19th day. Maybe his angel would have said, well, there's no purpose for me to coming. He's not expecting me anymore. Daniel never gave up. He kept on praying until his answer came. I'm telling you tonight, it doesn't matter the power of the enemy. I'm looking at the power of my Savior. If you could stand with me tonight, amen. We've only just had the overview tonight. Next week we're going to go into the differences between demons and fallen angels, which, as I said, demons can't do anything without a body. But once they get in a body, they can tear up the place all right. But Jesus had an answer for them. He said, in my name they shall what? Mark 16:16. He that believeth on me and is baptized shall be saved. Right? And he goes on to speak about all the things that are our inheritance. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall pick up serpents. That means the devil won't be able to harm you. Now, it's not talking about literally going around picking up serpents. It's talking about the ones with two legs that want to come and bite you spiritually. Right? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not. Shall I tell you something? Many years ago, my parents, and I believe me too, had those kind of experiences where someone was trying to do witchcraft. And when I was that young, I didn't understand. I was afraid. But after a while, I realized I had nothing to be afraid of. And once the devil realized that he couldn't frighten me, it stopped like that. And that's why I'm not afraid to drink or eat anything. Because he has nothing in me by faith. I stand here by faith. Not in my own self. I'm nothing of myself, but I am covered. The scripture said it's a vessel, that an unbound vessel is unclean. But you don't have to be an unbound vessel, an uncovered vessel. You can be covered by the Spirit.
Amen.
We just scratched the surface tonight. It's already 20 past 8. But I was laying a foundation for what I'm going to be teaching next week. We're going to be getting into the differences between demons and fallen spirits and how to deal with them. But one thing I want you to know tonight, the power of the fallen angels was finished at Calvary. When Jesus said, "It is finished," sin has no more power. Only if you go picking it up. Don't go back to the gravesite and start digging up dead stuff, because Jesus took it with him. You don't have to go dig that stuff up. Don't be a zombie. They got a lot of zombie films going on. Don't do that. Leave it buried. Leave your past buried. Leave it buried. When you were baptized, it was finished. Not only did Jesus die for all our past sins, but all our sins were future when he died. We weren't even born. All of the sins were future. That means don't look to yourself. Don't look to your performance and how good you can live, because you can't live very good. I can't live very good. I am looking and I am believing that his death covers me. His death was enough to save me. His death and blood is enough to wipe out every single sin I haven't even committed yet. Scripture says, those that are sanctified, he is making perfect. All you have to do is try and separate yourself, sanctify yourself. If you do that, he declares you perfect. As I said, son, he's looking at the end. He's looking at his finished work on Calvary. It was finished. When Jesus said it's finished, do you think it was not finished? It is finished. Whenever we understand that, whenever we internalize that and walk with confidence, the scripture says, a year from now, you're a son of God. After you've fasted 3 weeks, then you become a son of God. After you've gone a week shut in your house, not saying a bad word, then you become a son of God. No, it said, let's say it all together. Now. Now are we the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What's that speaking about? It's speaking about the new body. Now are we the sons of God. I think all of you should go out there and start commanding stuff. See, God was teaching even me a lesson a Monday morning, because I was running away from my blessing. I thought my manager was coming to reprimand me, and he was just wanting to give me an award. And I was trying to avoid him. And then finally when he caught up to me, he says, and I tell you, it shows you my unbelief. You could have knocked me down. Because I thought he was going to say, well, why this thing taking 2 weeks? Instead, he gave me just this beautiful award on this. It said, if I hadn't stepped up to the plate and done this, the whole project would, and gave me a Visa card with $25 on it. I am not boasting. I am just telling you this to encourage you. Here I was running away from the thing that was my blessing, because I was doubting, but God was wanting to teach me a lesson and say, I love you. You are blessed and highly favored. And he has promised to bless what? The work? So it doesn't matter how badly you do it, he's going to bless it. When God blesses it, he can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And when he had given thanks, that's all it takes. Whatever you give to him, when he had given thanks, he started to multiply it. And those 5 loaves and 2 fishes fed thousands. That's all we have to do, is give our only little 5 loaves, whatever you have, to God. You may think you are nothing. People have called you all kinds of names, loser, and you're not going to amount to anything. That little boy, the disciple says, well, all we got is this little lad, and all he's got is 5 loaves. That's nothing. How can this feed 5,000 people? That's almost laughable. Like, we shouldn't even tell the master about it. He said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. When whatever you have is given to God, all God has to do is give thanks. And you can help by starting to give thanks. Lord, I thank you for who you have made me right now. You have made me who I am right now. I don't have this gift or that gift, but whatever you have given me, Lord, I give it 100% back to you. See what it says? No authority, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God just wanted to show me, you're still blessed and highly favored. Even though I was like 3 or 4 weeks late with that thing. And the date on the award was June. He had given that award from June. He had written that out months ago and was just waiting for me. God has already got blessings written out in your name. And he's waiting for you to stop running away from it. I'm trying to close. I really am. But I want you to leave here knowing this, that you are highly beloved. You're highly beloved. When he said it is finished 2,000 years ago, he meant it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you've ever been baptized in his name, if you've ever been filled with his Spirit, all you have to do, the Bible says, if he is faithful, all we have to do is confess. Confess our faults. The Bible says he is faithful. I'm finishing. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's the key. That is the key. Amen. If you could bow your heads with me, Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight. Father, let this word of encouragement, of your power, of your grace, find good soil. That it will encourage, that it will lift up, that it will bless. Father, let it do a work in our lives, that we will not doubt your power or your love. We just thank you for all that you're doing, and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Be encouraged. Tell yourself, now am I a son of God. Amen. Go out there and command the devil. Tell him to leave you alone. Tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. God bless you. Amen. If you have an offering, leave it. Amen. Greet one another. Amen.